It's showtime.
Carl is here, and Carl has just listened to a new podcast, and I am pumped. It's our last visit of the year. Carl, how you doing?
I am doing well. I can't see you guys yet, but I'm hearing you.
Boo-hoo.
There I am.
All right. There I am. Yeah, that's right, 'cause you're only seeing yourself right now.
Carl, you had a great show with on the Amanda Bynes podcast. I want to compliment you from the Content House in Pennsylvania.
Well, I want to thank you for suggesting that because it was so easy to do. I was standing in the kitchen with Gino and Keanu and Drew, who all ended up being on my show. And I asked them what they thought about Amanda Bynes. They were all fans of hers. They all knew her. I don't know anything about Amanda Bynes. They all know her. So I was like, perfect. This is going to be great.
And now it turns out she's back. So there's more to keep track of. A new podcast coming Friday. I know. That was the best news.
That's so exciting. And then when she announced, did you guys play the video of her announcing your next guest?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited for that guy because I know nothing about him. And I know Paul's
going to manager of the flight store, Mark.
Paul is going to have so many stories about when he shopped at the flight store. It's going to be great.
It will be interesting to see Paul take over the podcast again and how he does it and what he has to say and how many fun facts will he tell us about.
I'm still annoyed. I don't know why this annoys me so much. The fact that she says, the guest says she's from Vancouver, and he goes, oh, I've been to Montreal. These are not even close to each other. And he's like, you know that one building in Montreal? She's from Vancouver. You know how far away that is?
I know, that'd be like a Miami and Seattle.
Fun fact right. About me.
And he bought some glasses.
He's such an idiot.
And he was in a rotating restaurant.
He's like 6 years old. He's like in second grade. And he's talking about his trip to Montreal.
Save so that one, buddy. And it was a terrible story anyway.
It was. And we're still talking about it for about the third or fourth time. So, Carl, every time I see you at a Content House, there's part of me that's like kind of, I don't know, jealous or I don't know how to think, like, what is this Content House business? What goes on in a Content House? Why am I never invited to a Content House? What exactly goes on there?
I can't even get you on Point Devil. Invited to a Content House. So basically what happens is, so Chrissy Mayer does this thing we did in Orlando last year. This time we were in the Poconos. They do a 48-hour live stream on their channel. And so they have cameras set up, and you go down on this couch, and you just kind of talk, and you talk to the chat, and there's producers there. But then they do a thing with excursions, too. So on Friday night, I got down there. I did Point Dabble Point from the Content House, and then we went to an escape room.
What's that?
We bring the phone with us, and we're filming us going through the escape room and solving all the problems and puzzles. They did a bunch of stuff before I got down there because the thing started Wednesday night. I didn't get down there until Friday. But, it's basically a whole bunch of content creators getting together, people with big YouTube audiences so that we can kind of cross streams a little bit and put on some shows together and enjoy it. There's a hot tub there. When we were in Orlando, I went to Disney with Anthony and his girlfriend. So, you know, we go down, we have a good time, and we film a bunch of stuff.
No, I was watching the stream because Chrissy put it up, and mostly it seemed like Gino just talking the whole time, and different people would be the other people, but it was generally Gino was doing all the talking.
And he's way too comfortable. Yes. I hate his posture. He sits down on anything, and he just looks way too comfortable. It's like, Gino, can you act like a little bit like you don't belong here for a second?
Carl, you never sat down at the whole time I was watching. You never sat down on the couch, never got in front of the mic.
I did a couple times. Yep, I did a couple times.
Okay.
Yeah. Not for very long.
And I saw Super Chats were coming in, so people actually pay to see whoever might sit at the couch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there were hundreds of people watching the entire time, even overnights, as people are staying up and watching. It's
really?
Incredible.
Wow. Yeah, because then some people were smoking doobies and stuff, and that seemed to be getting some Super Chat money in. So I don't, it's kind of fascinating, but at the same time, I guess I was kind of threatened.
Reefers.
I just don't know this Content House world. It's not part of my world.
You were paying closer attention than most of us, though, Drew. I'm proud of you.
Well, I was curious. But no, I never did see you, and I didn't see Chrissy at the couch at all either. It was just Gino.
Well, when I first got there, I'd just driven 4 hours. I get in the place, and they're like, I'm explaining to them how I had a show the night before. It's why I couldn't go in until Friday. So they're like, no, don't tell me anymore. Come with me. And they drag me down to the couch and start asking me about the show that I played the night before. And I'm like, listen, I have to prep for Point Devil Point. I didn't realize I was going to be thrown in front of the camera immediately when I got here.
Where was the show?
In Rochester, they have this really cool thing. It's the Rock Holiday Village. And they set it up in the park downtown with all these heated tents and these igloos. And so you can rent out an igloo. You can go shopping. There's Santa Claus is down there. There's food trucks. And so my band set up in the big area where they have the bar and the games and stuff. They even have pinball tables. It's nuts.
Oh, but cool.
It's all just tents and stuff.
It's for all the dudes on the stage. All y'all gay.
So this was an Isotopes gig.
Yes, yeah, okay. Isotopes doing a Christmas gig. We're playing another one this Friday.
Cool. All right. Boy, between those WATP, WATS, the Isotopes, your
Creep
schedule
off.
Sounds crazy. Creep
it's
off.
A lot. I was on Who Are These Broadcasters today with Don Jameson was on with Eric Zane and Christian Blatt and myself. That was exciting.
Now, what were the main items you guys were getting into, or just a couple of them?
On Who Are These Broadcasters?
Yeah.
Okay, so the main thing we wanted to talk about, because it is Kissmas, we were going back and watching Gene Simmons on Howard Stern in the 90s.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So we're watching some of that. But the big stuff, of course, Chris Cuomo with Baylen Dupree.
Oh, yeah. Man. I didn't see that. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. Oh, sure. That's nuts. Because Chris Cuomo really stepped in it when she's like, you know, doing her tics thing and swearing and he's laughing. And as he's laughing, she's talking about how her parents get death threats.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, whoops.
Yeah, well, wasn't she saying, you know...
I got news for you. The audience was laughing, too, though. It's so weird.
Yeah, wasn't she saying, fuck you, or something,
yeah.
Over and over? And
yeah, so fuck you. Go fuck yourself, Chris.
He couldn't help but laugh.
That's why he left. Go fuck yourself, Chris.
That was hilarious. Yeah. I've been wanting to tell Chris Cuomo off ever since that Fredo video that I saw. I was so jealous of Baylen.
So did he get a lot of views, though? I'm sure he got a lot of action from it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, that made some big news, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In my world, everyone's talking about it, but I assume that it's also a larger story.
No, I bumped into it in multiple places, so I thought, wow, that's got to be a big day for Chris Cuomo. And I thought, wow, where did he find Baylen Dupree? How did that even happen, you know?
Well, he claims, and I believe this is probably true, that his kids are fans of hers. Okay. So is that what happened with Rachel Yucatel too, where she's just like, my daughter loves you, and we had to book you on the show?
Oh, God. It's all so stupid. Well, anyway, so Kristen Cavallari, we talked about, Shannon Doherty and Kristen Cavallari, and you chose Kristen Cavallari, which is probably a good choice. Although I want to say that Shannon is her third partner on Charmed is claiming that Alyssa Milano said it's either Shannon or me, and they fired Shannon Doherty. So she's spilling some tea on that show. But Kristen, I don't know. I never liked her on Laguna Beach. I just thought she was such a cunt. And it was so ironic that the show was about narcissism. Her guest is talking about narcissism because Kristen seems like, to me, a perfect case study in narcissism. But they didn't go there, did they?
I was thinking the same thing, Drew. And I have some examples of her wanting to make the conversation about herself, which I thought was a little ironic on a show about narcissism. Well, she has this guest on, Dr. Sherry Campbell. And you'll love the way they met because... they love the way they met. This is my first track out here, number one.
Love how we met.
Me too.
And thanks, Alex Cooper.
I know.
Shout out.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You know, you work with all different types of trauma, but when I discovered you, it was on Call Her Daddy, and you were talking about surviving a narcissistic parent, and everything you said really resonated with me. My dad is a narcissist, and so hearing your story really made me feel seen. And so,
it's genetic.
She made it about herself.
Did you hear the end of that? Play the very end of that where she explains why it was so important that she was talking about that on Color Daddy.
Hearing your story really made me feel seen. And so...
like a narcissist would feel.
Feeling her story... hearing her story made her feel seen. Is this how the kids are talking now? Brandon, is this how the kids
kid.
Are talking?
She's not a kid, though.
Oh, man.
So stupid. So she goes on to say after that, since she started her podcast, she's been looking forward to this conversation more than anything else. And I always love that because it kind of puts down all the other guests she's had.
Yeah.
She's like, this is the one I was actually looking forward to. Like, oh, well, that's weird.
And she has some decent names on her podcast, but
Travis Kelce.
Oh yeah, that's Travis Kelce was on her show.
Yes,
Travis Kelce doesn't say no, Drew. Travis Kelce's on every show.
500,000 views on YouTube.
Wow. Oh God.
But and I was checking that one out. I thought that'd be interesting, but it was before he started pretending to fuck Taylor Swift.
Okay.
So it's not interesting.
Well, anyway, let's get back to Kristen's journey towards figuring out her father was a narcissist, because I love that she used the word journey.
Everyone's on a journey, aren't they?
Yes.
Now, I have two clips in a row here, and what we're going to do is define what a narcissist is. So my track number two, I'm going to play this on WATP tomorrow because it describes Stuttering John to a T. Unbelievable.
They're never wrong. Nope. They're always the victim. They tend to be pathological liars and manipulators, and that will be on a scale.
Yeah.
Right? And they're disturbingly immature,
Bing,
psychologically, and selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nailed it. all the way. Now, I want you guys to pick up on something, because this was bugging me, Drew. I'm sure it bugged you, too. This is the Not in Agreement show.
Yeah.
Not once will Kristen respond with, wait, what do you mean by that? Or can you elaborate on that thought? It's just, yep, uh-huh, yep. Uh-huh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. She says, fantastic. She
says crazy shit. That's so stupid.
It was driving me nuts.
She's probably not listening to half the things she's saying, right?
I hope not.
Yeah.
That would be a good excuse. All right, so my third track on here is more talking about narcissists, and again, Stuttering John all the way.
Really, when you boil it down, they're actually some of the most insecure people on the planet.
They are the most insecure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get this question a lot. Do they even care? Yes. About themselves.
Right.
So they don't care how they affect you, but they care greatly about your reaction to their abuse of you.
Yes.
And so when you're not allowed to have a reaction that counters them.
Right.
They have to win.
Yes.
I wish you didn't point that out. That's all I see in your nose.
I was thinking there was going to be a super cut because the agreement is quite intense. Everything.
Why do you say that, Drew? I put together a super cut for us. Okay. But you know what? It's not the word yeah. It's another word that she uses quite a bit to describe how she reacts to things that she's learning from Dr. Campbell. This is track zero.
Wow. 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 Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, wow. 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 Oh, wow. 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 And wow.
And wow. I'm shocked that wow has that many different inflections in it.
Wow. It's fantastic.
If you're trying to count at home, it's 36 is the answer. That's the number of wows.
Wow.
And how long was the episode?
Well, without the commercials, about 40 minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, wow a minute.
Wow. Okay. How about that?
So now Dr. Campbell's talking about working on the relationship with her family and her parents. And she brings up the fact that it's a waste of her time. And you can't have a show about narcissists and mental health without the term boundaries.
Oh, okay.
This is a big thing that everyone's talking about these days. It's
what am I trying for?
Yeah, exactly.
To go get my ass kicked and my self-esteem lowered again. And now my dignity is in that ring and my self-respect is in that ring and I have no boundaries.
Right.
And I think boundaries are totally misunderstood in our culture.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree.
What do you mean?
I actually didn't even realize that my dad was a narcissist until I was an adult.
So she decided to just segue right into talking about her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think boundaries are misunderstood. Oh, yeah, no, totally. Anyway, so when I found out my dad's an asshole.
But that's a prime example of what you were just talking about. Of like, can you explain what the fuck you're talking about boundaries being misunderstood?
Correct. And just goes, yep, you got it. Nailed it. I get it. I get you.
That's because she doesn't know what it means.
I don't know about you, but I thought the show was a little too much about Dr. Campbell and her parents. It's like, I don't need to know all this stuff about Dr. Campbell's horrible parents. I thought this was about how to identify a narcissist.
I was a little surprised by that too. Dr. Campbell seemed to be, I was expecting Kristen to make this the Kristen show.
Yeah.
But Dr. Campbell wanted to make it the Dr. Campbell show.
Yeah, it seemed like Kristen and Dr. Campbell were kind of tug of warring about whose parents it was about the most, and Dr. Campbell won. But they both fought hard.
No, for sure. I definitely agree with that. Now, the other thing that I have to play for you, and then we'll get back into this tug of war, is the ad copy on this show. And I know this is a cheap shot, and Kristen didn't write this, but this just seems like dishonest. My fifth track here.
Yeah. Okay, guys. I want to tell you about this underwear that I am absolutely obsessed with. And I just can't keep it to myself. It's so good. It's the Fits Everybody collection by Skims. And I feel like it's their best kept secret.
No, first off, is she telling us because she's obsessed that she can't keep it to herself? I doubt it.
No, she's being paid.
But also, a well-kept secret. It's on their homepage. Yeah. I went to this company's homepage. And they talk about this. It's not a secret.
Carl, I know about Skims. Everybody I have no interest Skims. In Skims. Yeah. I'm forced to hear about Skims all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not also, the target audience.
Drew, you watched the show, right?
I listened to it. I didn't watch it. I should have.
Okay. So you'll notice there when we were watching that, they had the product shot up there. And then there's a photo of her in a dress where you can see all of her cleavage and everything like that.
Yeah.
But it's, this. Every single ad read, it just swaps out what the advertiser is on the right hand side.
And she's
the
same.
That photo of her. It's like, if you don't like advertising, do you like boobs? Yeah.
I was gonna say,
all right, I'll watch this.
She's clearly not wearing Skims in that photo of her. I mean,
no.
You'd be wearing it if you love it that much. And
it's an ad. Mark, I thought they were Skims at first because that was the first ad.
No.
But then she's wearing that same outfit for every ad. So I was like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Did you catch the ad, Carl, where she opens up with, have you ever left a party because you're so bloated?
True. I almost pulled that one up. Like, there's too much advertising. I can't decide my identity. She goes, this is a weird segue, but you ever leave a party because you're so bloated? Like, yeah, that is a weird segue.
No one is.
You were so bloated you had to wear sweatpants.
Huh?
So if you're in sweatpants, I wouldn't think you'd be worried about how bloated you were anyway, but.
Drew, do you ever leave a content house because you're so bloated?
And it was about probiotics? Is that what the ad was?
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll keep you from leaving parties because you're too bloated. Probiotics, apparently.
I guess. You know, I wonder if we asked Senator John that question, what his answer would be. You ever leave a party because you're feeling bloated? Actually, yes.
That's funny. You know, I went right to Senator John, too, when she described narcissist. I didn't know you would. I kind of thought you would, but right there, it's the first guy I thought of.
Oh, it described into a T. And we've been talking about this for a while. Because the funny thing about, and I don't know if you guys know narcissists in your lives, but it's weird behavior, and I'm not used to it. So learning about John has been a journey, I would say, for me. As I'm trying to figure out, why would anyone act like this? And then you find out, it's a personality disorder. Oh, okay.
Well, it's funny, just like Kristen and Dr. Campbell, John calls people narcissists all the time.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
So that must be a narcissistic trait, too, possibly?
I think so. All right, let's find out about dating narcissists. And my sixth track on here, you guys have to explain what this means.
I had to lose myself to find myself when it came to love.
Oh, that hits me so hard.
Yeah,
that's what I've been working on the last few years.
Yeah,
it's nothing truer has ever been said.
You really got to open up. You got to be vulnerable.
You take down those boundaries.
You have to what that means?
Lose yourself to find yourself. No, I don't have no idea what they're talking
about. Let the
walls
down, right?
Can somebody quiz her on that? She has no idea what that doctor just said.
Well, she said nothing truer has ever been said.
Nothing truer has ever been said. What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't understand. Know what she's talking about. Oh, my God. Look at that look on her stupid face. Like an agreement. Get out of here.
Jesus.
I want to play that one again just because I love it that much.
I had to lose myself to find myself when it came to love.
Oh, that hits me so hard.
Yeah.
That's what I've been working on the last few years.
Yeah.
It's nothing truer has ever been said.
She's rolling her eyes while she's saying that because she doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about.
I guess I need to lose myself to find myself. I didn't even know it.
Oh, my.
I have no idea.
Gotta work
on
that.
And you guys are both, we're guessing, but it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. It's like, eyes.
That's funny.
All right. Track number 7. I'm not even going to set this up. This is so bizarre to me.
All right.
People ask me a lot how you spot a narcissist. And I think for people who are dating, you know, they want to be able to have, you know, some concrete things that they can say, okay, this is what I need to look out for before it's too late, before you're in a relationship. And, you know, they're the biggest con artists on the planet. So it can be really challenging at first to spot them. Do you have any tips
for
that?
I have incredible advice for that.
Okay.
The first 18 months of being in love, you cannot tell the difference between a brain high on cocaine, okay, or newly in love.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
People on cocaine would talk a lot more, wouldn't they?
And I love Chris's reaction. It's like, yep, we all know that.
Yeah, Cavalier's done a ton of blow, apparently.
Well, the first part of that, she goes, people ask me all the time how to spot a narcissist. Is this the question people are going to Kristen with?
Mm. And why is she dating so many people that are probably narcissists? Wouldn't that be kind of weird?
Right. Well, if she is doing that, then I wouldn't ask her that question because she's bad at it. But also, I don't know that that's the thing that people are asking Kristen about. So she comes on, the doctor, Dr. Campbell says, oh, I totally have great advice for you on how to make sure that you do not date a narcissist. And I have to tell you guys, my track number 8 here, I think this is the weirdest advice I've ever heard from a doctor.
Before I went out with my boyfriend, I had already stalked him.
Smart.
Yeah. I want to know who I'm going out with.
Yep.
That's a little crazy.
I stalked him. She goes, yep. As you do. Sure. Why not?
But you don't find out real things about people online. I mean, you'll find out some surfacey things. If they've been arrested, you might find it out. But other than that.
Well, you're assuming the word stalk has nothing to do with online. You're assuming cyber stalking. I don't know.
Yeah, she could have been following this dude around.
I'm thinking peeking in windows. Yeah, that's where I go. That's where my head goes.
Mm-hmm. Why would all these people be going to Kristen Cavallari to figure out how someone's a narcissist, by the way?
They're not.
Shouldn't you go to an expert?
They're not.
It's so bizarre to me. And I love that they met because of Call Her Daddy, a show that started off talking about taking money shots.
Yeah.
Now it's solving the world's problems, apparently. All right.
You got to hand it to Alex Cooper. She's evolved nicely.
She's killing it. I was checking in on Sophia Franklin. And she is not having doctors on to talk about narcissism. That's for sure.
Yeah, Sophia, I've noticed she's drifted down off the charts almost, while Alex Cooper has stayed up there.
Yeah, no, Sophia definitely has an audience. She's doing well on YouTube. I think she's primarily a YouTube show because she is eye candy.
Yeah.
So I'll give her that. Where, you know, the problem with Spotify is I use Spotify. I subscribe to Spotify. I don't use it for podcasts. So when these shows go Spotify exclusive, they're pretty much off my radar.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a strange thing to pay people a lot of money for to take audience away from them.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's definitely something lost there.
Yeah, but it worked with Rogan, right?
Sure.
Yeah, well, his audience is extremely loyal.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But what about Dax Shepard? I mean, who talks about Dax Shepard anymore?
No one, because that's a bad show.
Yeah, it sucks.
True. Somebody.
It is. So, I mean, Trudy talks about him.
In my ninth track here, this is another one where I wrote down, what am I missing here? Why am I not following this conversation? And Kristen seems to totally understand what's going on.
But there are narcissists that are some of the best, most creative people out there that have words.
Oh, gosh.
Songs.
Yep.
And they may not live that life in private.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
What are you talking about?
They have words and songs, but they don't live that life in private. And
they
Kristen
use words?
Goes, yep.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Has she dated a singer? I mean, do we know that? Because that's probably what she's thinking of.
I'll check probably. Who's dated
she's thinking of an ex she doesn't like.
I don't think I'm going to meet the Beatles through listening to a Beatles album. That's not going to tell me who they are. Or the Rolling Stones or Pearl Jam or anyone.
You got to stalk them.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be much more interested in an interview with one of the members.
You will find out that John Lennon used to be cruel to his woman. But you don't know what's going on now, currently.
And kept her apart from the things that she loved.
Yeah, that was a dick move, I got to say, John. It looks bad. All right. Now, again, this is where they're talking about stuff. And I guess it makes sense to them because they're both agreeing. but I have no idea. This conversation, this right here, made me dumber. And I apologize that I am dumber today because I listened to this already.
They probably mean those things.
Right.
But when they have you, I hate to say this, but it's like a cannibal.
Yes.
They fall in love with a person, and they want to be so close to that person that they eat them.
Yeah. Well, I've never heard anyone describe it like that. Yeah.
Just because it's stupid.
So at the eating of the human being, now they've lost that person because it didn't make them feel the connection that they're looking for.
Still hungry.
So what do? They go find another one.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I have no idea, Carl. I can't help you.
What are they talking about? As soon as you said, you know, narcissists are like cannibals, I'd be like, well, hold on a second. Do you know what cannibals do? It's very different.
So is every cannibal a narcissist?
Oh, probably.
What about all those people that were on that plane out there?
Oh, in Chile,
alive.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, they were all narcissists while they were eating each other.
Maybe we're being too literal right now. Maybe that's our problem.
Yeah.
Well, what she's did she mean?
Narcissists use people and then discard them. It's a quicker way of saying, I think, what she's trying to get to.
It's a little extreme.
Oh. You use them for your own means.
Well, I mean, my last clip here, number 11, this is where it gets crazy. Because you heard her say, Dr. Campbell said earlier, that narcissists don't care about anyone but themselves. They don't have empathy.
So that's
why they're bad in relationships. But then this gets very confusing. I think they're confusing narcissists with energy vampires. I'm pretty sure.
I've said it's like they're trying to like suck our energy and like take our spirit from us.
Yes. They're not interested in like the murder of the body. They are interested in the murder of the spirit.
Yes, exactly.
It's emotional rape.
Yep.
And emotional homicide.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what they function on. It is their fuel.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. It's all psychobabble bullshit.
And I think a lot of people listen to this. It does fairly well.
Yeah, and the people that listen to it are going, yeah, that sounds right. And then they repeat it.
But, Carl, do you remember at the beginning of the show when Kristen says that the show's about being honest and getting real and open? But that didn't feel very real to me.
Well, I don't even know what they're talking about, Drew. I mean, none of this sounds real to me.
This came
out 8 hours ago. It already has 7,000 views.
Wow.
So, yeah, people are checking this out for some reason.
I mean, I thought it'd be something like The Real World, if they're getting open and real with each other.
Right.
But
stop being polite. Start getting real.
That's right.
True story.
Good job.
I didn't realize that narcissists need emotional rape and emotional homicide in order to function. This is all news to me.
This doctor is so dramatic. I mean, she went down to 82 pounds and her mom still wanted to lose weight so she could spin faster on her skates. Oh. And oh, God, that was just so horrible. Speaking of which,
Drew, I don't know if you're like me, but at the beginning of the show, she's talking about her and her brother were both great athletes. And she goes, you know, I almost went pro. I didn't. My brother did. Yeah. I would be like, who's your brother?
Exactly.
What sport? What are we talking about? That's cool.
I couldn't believe Kristen didn't say, who is your brother? Because I figured we'd know who he is.
Yeah, well, there was a Campbell who played for the Sabres, defenseman. I mean, there's been a lot of Campbells that have been pros in the league. I want to know.
I thought she was talking about a figure skater, but I don't know. Did she say hockey?
Can you go pro as a figure skater?
I was thinking NHL or figure skater, probably a figure skater, but I don't know how,
probably most likely, right?
I'm not sure how, unless you're a narcissist, you wouldn't stop her there and ask her who that person is.
Right.
Seems like
that's
an obvious
kind of a
question.
Fun story, I would
yeah,
say.
Right. Of course.
Wow.
Not interested, apparently.
Right.
Wow.
Wow.
Is that the last Kristen cut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get to the other podcast?
So I put together a little Tom Segura package because
we've
talked about Tom Segura on here. We've talked about the fact that the fans think he's changed, that he gets a lot of backlash for his attitude and his attitude about wealth. So I thought I'd put together a little presentation, but I wanted to start because you guys were talking yesterday about him with Quentin Tarantino.
Yes. He didn't read his book when he came on, which was incredible.
It's incredible to have an A-list celebrity like Quentin on your show and not prepare yourself for it.
One that's an incredibly interesting individual, too.
Yes.
And obviously wants to promote the current project. I mean, you have to know that going in.
And I'll just say, Drew, I watch the way you handle celebrity interviews. You always are prepared. You always have the right questions. You know what they want to talk about. You're ready to talk to them about it. And that's why this is so frustrating to see a guy like Tom Segura, who's got all this fame going, and he has Quentin on Two Bears, One Cave. Bert's not there. And Tom does a terrible job of promoting his book, and Quentin calls him out. So
you have to love that.
19th video here is what you're going to see is the very beginning of the show where he admits he hasn't read the book and Quentin reacts. And then 90 minutes later at the end of the show when they're wrapping up and Quentin really lets him have it.
Also, I want to point out you have a new book out, Cinema Speculation. I told you I've begun the audiobook. Mm-hmm. I think I might switch.
Exactly. Yeah, your stock went way down when you said that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Probably wasn't the really best way to say
hello. Sorry. I just wanted to let you know that I was actually consuming the material.
I appreciate that.
No, I know you got to run, but it's a real treat. Thank you for
my pleasure
for coming, and congrats on the book.
Well, okay, you said you've been reading it for a little bit. All right, where are you up to now?
I don't know. You are talking about going to
opening chapter.
Yeah, but I didn't read it. I told you that.
I know. Boy, you were still listening.
I was listening to it.
Yeah, so you've listened to the half of the opening chapter.
I got it.
Where in the opening chapter did you arrive at? When you listened to it today for the first time, drove from your house to the studio today, when you pulled up today,
I swear to God, not today. And I'll tell you where I am. You're at the movies.
Okay,
that's where you're at in this one. You're somewhere at the movies.
Well, that narrows it down.
Well, okay. Somewhere.
Like, oh, when I'm watching the Jim Brown movie? That's it. The Jim Brown movie. Yeah. That's the ticket. That's
1970,
the ticket.
Something like that.
You're literally describing the first three pages.
Look, man, I only go by audio. I don't know what pages mean.
You are literally describing the first three fucking pages.
Doesn't take away from the fact that I'm a genuine fan.
Okay. Yeah, no, it doesn't.
And, salty.
I asked good questions.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Come on. Brutal. Just admit you got fucking burned.
We are so embarrassed for you.
Just apologize. I fucked up.
Well, he bullshitted.
I love the idea that he listened to on the way to the studio. You know that's what happened. He's like, oh, shit, Quentin's out today. I better listen to this.
It sounds like us interviewing Dave Mason without Drew.
Not us. That was Bentley's fault.
Okay.
But asking about something in the first three pages, too. I mean, if you wrote the book, you know. Oh, wait. He's asking about the first three pages. Did he just read the first three pages?
Yeah.
Oh, ouch. With an
audiobook, you can go an hour in and like, oh, I heard the story you were telling. You know, make it seem like you.
You can do that with the book, too. Compelling. Yeah. Well, right. Jump in the middle of it.
You could actually read 60 pages. That would be, you know, enough.
Or you could listen on like 2x speed. Consume more faster.
Oh, it's so weak. And he's so pissed, too, that he's being called out.
Yeah, he was laughing in the beginning, but after Tarantino kept giving it to him, you could tell he's got a little bit salty there.
Oh, yeah.
I ask good questions. That's not the point.
And I'm a fan.
It's not the point.
Oh, you're a fan like millions of other people?
Don't bullshit your guests that you're reading the book or listening to it.
Hey, I saw Pulp Fiction. we all saw Pulp Fiction. All right, so let's talk about Tom Segura. Because Tom Segura was an everyman. His stand-up was all about everyday situations. I have examples of that. I have examples of him on the podcast in early days and conversations they would have. And we see what he's become now. I'm going to start with the 14th track on here, Mark.
Okay.
And this is something, he's on Two Bears, One Cave with Bert Kreischer. And you can tell that the subreddit and Twitter is getting to him because people are complaining. He's always talking about his cars. He has a car collection. He collects Rolexes. And people are just like, Tom, what happened to you? And you're just talking about your wealth all the time. So Tom fires back against the losers.
Every time we talk about like a watch or a car, I'll get a bunch of messages from losers that try to tell me that I'm making them feel bad about their situation. You're in control of your own situation and your own feelings. So don't put it on me that you feel bad that I have something that, oh, but I'm struggling with rent this month. Figure it the fuck out, okay? Like, don't make my life be a problem for your life.
Oh, wow. Jesus. Oh, what an asshole.
In your face, listeners.
Not a good way to respond to this.
Couldn't you be a little more self-aware when you have 60 cars? It's probably not terribly relatable to talk about your super expensive cars, your different cars, your Rolex collection. That's not relatable. That's bragging.
Yep.
Well, especially because a lot of his fans have been fans for almost 10 years now and have been watching him and his wife, Christina P, starting Your Mom's House and kind of a grassroots effort to build this thing. And now he's acting like he's been there. And people are like, well, you know, remember, we're the ones supporting you and we're the reason why you've gotten all this wealth and fame. And he's like, fuck you.
Okay. Well, didn't he make a term for those people? The poors? Isn't that what he calls them?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
He calls them losers. He calls them haters. He calls them poors. So we'll go to 13 here. This is on the Joe Rogan show. And Bert's telling this story about how he went to a Rolex store and he's like, I don't want to spend this kind of money. So then he messaged with Tom about it, and Tom wrote him a note and said, dude, you're working your ass off. You deserve it. Go buy that Rolex. So Bert goes, okay, I'll buy myself a Rolex. And then Bert's explaining that he sent a note back to Tom saying he bought the Rolex. Meanwhile, Tom is also in a Rolex store buying a Rolex. At the same-
Oh, my God. I know, this is disgusting.
And I wouldn't do it, but your message meant so much to me. He's like, oh, cool. I go, what are you doing? He goes, well, you know, I sent you that message and I realized that shit applies to me too. I'm in a Rolex store. I'm buying a new Rolex.
Wow. He bought a new Rolex the next day.
Yeah. Tommy's my favorite guy to call about cars because Tommy and me have the same love of cars.
So this is what annoys people.
It's just not relatable. No, and to bring that up without somebody, I mean, somebody should have ragged on somebody in that conversation.
Yeah.
Ari tried to. Ari Shaffir was there, too. He tried to. And they're like, all right, shut up, Ari. We're talking about our Rolexes.
the only guy without a collection.
Yeah. All right, so we'll go to my 12th track. Again, this is from Two Bears, One Cave. And again, responding to the haters, I think this is the wrong way to go about it if you wanted to stop.
If you just sit around and you know what? You only have what you have because of fans, so don't talk about us like that. Yeah, but you're still a loser if you're thinking like that. So you may be, I'm lucky to have you as a loser fan, but you don't have to be that way.
Wow.
Background laugh track.
It's just kind of stunning.
Yeah.
They go nuts in the control room.
I mean, that sounds like he just despises those people.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, oh, well, my fans aren't all as successful as I am, and therefore, you know, they should work harder. No, it's like he finds him despicable. That's awful.
Yes, very, very much so. So he was on 2 years ago. He was on KFC on Barstool, and they were talking about cars and his car collection. And I found this clip. I think this is an example of why people on the subreddits for Your Mom's House and stuff go, all right, Tom, it's getting to be a little bit too much. You're being a little bit braggadocious. My track number 16 on here.
Like when you're like, yeah, I'm on my, you know, fifth car. I'm like, fuck, I drive a Hyundai, Tom, at least.
Well, to be fair, it's ninth car.
Tom just came in from
these, Tom. Huh? Where do you even put your cars?
Well, I have lifts in the garage.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But this is a fucking real asshole move. I'm going to tell you.
Oh God.
I'm actually having a thing built where when you'll drive up, the ground will open and the cars will go down into a garage.
Stop.
Good for you.
Really?
I like that other guy. Okay. I like that guy asking the questions, though.
Yeah. So KFC there is going, man, we've been on Barstool 15 years, and I still need my paycheck to pay my bills every week.
Which you know
and
is not, going, oh, that's weird. Which you know is not true.
Yeah. Wow. I just would not tell a story like that. It's just, I mean, Tom Cruise never tells a story like that, does he?
No, correct. That's probably pretty smart. So
yeah.
I found this fascinating clip from Tom's old stand-up. He was the multimillionaire and when he was relatable. And I think this is kind of telling my track number 15 here. He's literally become the guy he's goofing on here.
I fly every week. I never buy first class ticket. I buy coach tickets. I buy them so much, I get bumped up to first class. I'm telling you, The moment I get bumped up to first class, I get washed over with this feeling. I'm like, look at these fucking poor pieces of shit on the flight. Ugh. So much better than them. Don't stand next to me. Ugh, dude. I dare you to try to come up from coach and use the first class bathroom when I'm there. I'll put my hand on your chest, okay? There's a pig trough in the back. That's for you guys.
That's pretty funny until we hear all this other stuff.
Yeah, so you know that's how he really is.
Right. I mean, he's trying to say that would be ridiculous to think that way or to be that way. And he's literally is acting that way now.
Yeah, now he's talking about taking private jets.
Jesus.
And who plays arenas and who plays, you know, the other halls.
Yeah, there was a doc that he put out around the time of his latest Netflix special where it was supposed to be this behind the scenes, see what it's like to be on tour with Tom. And he's like showing off his car collection.
Oh my God.
And he does this bit where he has to give his mom money in Vegas and his sister. And he's like constantly handing cash out and stuff. He seems obsessed with it, which is weird because I found a clip from 7 years ago on Your Mom's House where they had a very different attitude towards people showing off their wealth and bragging about their wealth.
A very different studio too.
Yes.
Right? Much smaller and intimate, yeah.
But all he's doing is, like, to me, when you say my lifestyle is like, over-the-top luxury and decadence, it's not really, like, it's not, I don't know if that's something to say. Like, you're just saying, I have a ton of money.
Yeah, it's just being a show-off.
Yeah, it's showy.
You know, and can I tell you what really bothers me about people like this is, like, okay, I get it. You're having fun every day. Every day is a party.
Yeah.
And then he'll put a post of, like, you haters can hate, but I'm loving my life. It's like, well, you're kind of baiting people because you're like, nanny, nanny, poo, poo, look how great my life is. And then when people shit on you for being a douchebag, you're like, oh, don't be a hater.
Yeah, yeah.
You're baiting people.
You always have the defense of you're just hating.
Right. Which, of course, we are if you're shitting on him, but you're baiting it because you're telling me.
Like
you're, you know.
I mean, there's something really tacky about showing how much money you have.
It's totally tacky. It's,
oh, now you're funny, Tom. Carl, what's Christina like?
I don't like Christina. I don't find her funny in any single way.
I don't either. That's my problem. I actually flipped it on because I saw all the views it has. And I understand, by the way, their views are going down, which made me feel better about myself and also about them.
They're still getting 500,000 views each episode, though. It's a lot.
They were getting 1 million or more. Two Bears, One Cave is losing views, too. But when I put it on, I was like, is she supposed to be funny? Because I didn't hear her even trying to be funny.
No, and I don't know. I think she used to be funny, and now she's also affected by this new life and all their fame that they have, because she seems to be going down that same route from some of the things that I've pulled, where it's talking about mental health and dealing with mental health issues and how tough life is. Like, yeah, I agree. Life is difficult. But, you know, when you got $30 million in the bank, it's a little easier.
A lot easier, yeah.
It's a little easier, that's all.
But did she start as a comedian?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact,
I didn't even know that.
In fact, this is a perfect segue to my kicker here, because this just happened yesterday. Robert Kelly is doing a show with Tom Segura, the stand-up comic Robert Kelly.
I like him. Do you like him?
Yeah.
I think he's great. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fun.
You know, I'm not super familiar with Robert Kelly, but from the comments I'm reading about Bonfire listeners, it sounds like Robert Kelly's putting the Bonfire out. I mean, they don't seem to like him on the Bonfire.
Hmm.
I don't know why.
Well, he replaced Dan Soder, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's tough. Dan Soder's really funny.
Yeah.
So it's so funny because here they're having this conversation. Robert Kelly is telling Tom how relatable he is. And how everyone says how great he is. This is just from yesterday. Listen to what Tom says.
Like, everybody that does your show,
Is
like, they're great. They're awesome. It's so fun. They're so nonchalant. Nice. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I've never heard a bad thing about you.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't think much has changed about how we really are from you know, starting this thing forever ago. We were just like two open micers who met and just pursued this lunacy that we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got obviously like some super lucky breaks, and then you just try to keep doing what you do.
Wow. Oh, man.
What a humble man.
Yeah.
Is there some weird caked makeup on Robert Kelly or something? Does he look overly made up? Something looked weird about him to me.
Hang on, let me go back.
Yeah, he back it up. I mean,
like everybody that.
Maybe it's just a super smooth dome. I don't know.
That is one of the smoothest heads I've ever seen, bald, especially when you got to Segura.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be a filter. I'll admit to this on StreamYard. There's a little filter on there to smooth out your face a little bit that definitely take advantage of. Yeah.
Oh, man, I need one of those. Yes. Carl, so you're changing. You're going big time.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're going to talk about your two houses.
It's a button in StreamYard. Why wouldn't I press it?
Everyone I know is always talking about their second house. Jeez.
All right. Now I've also lost touch. I just thought that was so funny to watch how Tom Segura has evolved over time, and then for just yesterday, him to say, like, we're the same people we were when we were open micers. I mean, we're just doing our thing.
Well done, man. Well done mixing all those clips, because it really does illustrate how he just doesn't get it or doesn't see it or is just out of touch.
He seems to me to be unequivocally the worst in terms of changing due to having large sums of money of all those guys in his group. And there's a lot of them who have gained tremendous success. And their podcast views are amazing.
By the way, I feel like he's also like using Ozempic or steroids or something because he's lost weight.
He's a workout fiend, Mark.
Is he now?
Yeah,
okay.
He's now super buff. Yes, in the last few years. Yeah, that's
and
part of his
guys,
transformation.
I'll even say his message is not wrong when he talks about how, look, if you're jealous of my wealth, you got to change your thinking. Don't be jealous.
Sure.
Get it for yourself. Like the message is correct in a lot of ways, but the way that he's going about it is just the wrong way. It's turning everyone off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It shouldn't be coming from him to the people supporting him. That's just the wrong dynamic.
Yes.
But yeah, that was great, Carl. Excellent.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me on the show this week. Merry Christmas. I assume you'll be off next week.
Yes, absolutely. And then we'll be back after the first of the year. So let's get back together the first Tuesday of the year. And it's been a great 2023.
It definitely has. I've had a blast with you guys. If there are Drew and Mike listeners looking to fill the void next week, we'll have brand new episodes of Who Are These Podcasts.
I'm listening.
I'm not taking off.
Well, at least you didn't call them losers.
Jeez, what kind of asshole did you get to do a show with you during the holidays?
I believe my note to Brandon was, oh, you're not going on vacation this year. You're working for me now.
Oh, are you going on?
It wouldn't be a holiday vacation without Carl putting me to work.
That's great.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So that will be, you're coming on December 30th, right, Brandon?
I am.
I got Tab Burt on the show this weekend coming up. But the show will be out available to listen to on the 31st, which, you know, of course, you'll be watching the Bills play the Patriots, everyone, on the 31st. Yeah, turn the volume down and listen to our podcast.
That team is on fire.
Hey, they're rallying, aren't they?
They're starting to. That game against the Cowboys was very impressive. Like, they're like, Josh, take the day off. We got this. You don't need to do anything.
That was the juice of my parlay, that game. I was like, so, yeah, full nice. On Bills. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, the Lions looked fantastic, too.
Oh.
When I was at Content House, we spent all day Saturday after the show just watching football. So
nice.
That was a blast.
All right, Carl. Great work. And we'll talk to you real soon. And we'll make sure and tweet out that December 30th appearance.
Sounds good. And tomorrow I'm doing a show with Trucker Andy and Lucy Typebox. You know, we've been doing this new series of shows on our midweek shows where we break down podcasts from a certain category of podcast. Mm-hmm. And we actually compete and the listeners go and vote on who found the worst podcast in that category, and we're doing mental health category this week coming up. So that'll be fun.
I can't wait to see what Andy comes up with. He finds some of the most bullshit podcasts. Unbelievable.
Yes, he does. He already sent me his clip, so he's all over it.
All right. Thanks, Carl.
Have a good one.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Merry Christmas.
Have a great holiday. Yeah.